Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights. When I started almost 5 years ago now doing these podcasts, I could have called it Sports Card Investments, and that's taken now, but I really am about insights. Today's episode will be a little bit more about math and not specifically about investment, but giving you some perspective. I'm a little bit of a consultant, but also a teacher. I've done both of those things in my various careers and enjoyed that. So I want to help you be a better collector or a better investor, whatever it is. Thanks, sponsors, Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication, CompC.com, Burbank Sports Cards, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Heritage Auctions, Huggins Scott Auctions, Topps, Panini, and Upper Deck. There's a lot of talk about 10X. How do we get there? A lot of talk about what defines an investor or not an investor. It's not a dirty word. There are many different motivations for why someone would collect and why they would collect one thing or another. And to me, there ought to be some passion there. Now, maybe it's passion for making a lot of money, or it's passion for the sport that you love. But there ought to be some passion there one way or another that you really jump into it. As I said, I don't want card collecting to be a game of luck. I want it to be a game of skill. And my skill set is wired a certain way, and yours may be slightly different. But you ought to figure out, what's my skill? How can I get the optimum enjoyment out of this hobby? I'm going to simplify some assumptions here as I go through some of this stuff and try to make it not too complicated. But if inflation is 2 or 3% a year, which I think it's more like 3% now, they want 2%, but 3% is something we're getting used to. That's every year, if something stays the same price, your money actually buys 3% less. So it is not innocuous, can be insidious over time, especially compounding. 3% a year, let's accept that. Let's also accept 5% historically, it could be more or less, but 5% is a risk-free investment possibility. There are CDs, very low risk, where you can lock up your money, but you get 5% a year and you don't have to do anything. It's not going to be less, but it's not going to be more. In fact, you lose the opportunity cost of it might being more by locking it in. But 5% in cards, if you're going to make 3% a year, that's just keeping up with inflation. If you're going to get 5% a year, that's just keeping up with the risk-free investment. So if you're going to call yourself an investor in sports cards and sports memorabilia, you really have to have the expectation that you're going to beat 5% a year. For sake of argument, let's just take $1,000. So you've got $1,000 in your pocket. First of all, you can put it in the bank and get your 5%, or you can waste it or spend it on many things. And if you spend it on cards, it's a very broad category. You're going to get something that's currently hot or something that's going to be hot in the future, which is what I want to do. I don't want to get yesterday's hot at an inflated price. I want to get tomorrow's hot at a lower price. On the other hand, most people like to get what's hot today because that's just the way they do it. So they're going to get a $1,000 card for their $1,000 that they have in their pocket. And they're going to be happy about that. They didn't underpay. Hopefully they didn't overpay, but they got the card they wanted. It's in their collection, and that's that. Okay, so now you can't get the 5%. You're hoping, if you're an investor, that it's going to go up more than 5%. So if you think about what $1,000 card or what cards am I going to get for my proverbial $1,000, I think a lot of people are interested in paying more. You know, bragging rights for paying a high price. I'd rather have bragging rights for paying a low price, not a criminally low price, but a low price that I could say, I got a real good deal on that. And the best way I did that in the old days, and guys are still doing it now, is buying collections. If you buy a collection, you expect to get a discount. The greater the quantity, the bigger the discount. So if you just think 50%, I can get 50% off if I buy a bundle of good cards. I'm not talking about terrible cards. I'm talking about good cards. Maybe not great cards, the best of the best. You should not put them with anything else. They can go in a high-end auction and sometimes get a premium price. If you're selling, that's good. If you're buying, maybe not so much. So I'd like to buy at half price. And who wouldn't? Again, it's what cards. I want to buy cards that I like at half price. I don't want to be buying cards that nobody likes for half price, but I'm willing to be patient. So instead of paying $1,000 for a card, I want to pay $1,000 for $2,000 cards that I'm effectively getting for $500 each. And I may have to get 10 $200 cards for $1,000, or I may even get more. I may even get lower than half price if I buy a huge quantity. Dealers do that. I did it. I guess my message is, don't overpay if you're an investor. The only way you can get taken out of it as an investor is if you are investing in these transcendent players that are just so outrageously, that they break the mold. The Tom Brady, LeBron, Michael Jordan, these iconic players who presumably are always going to be selling for Mickey Mantle, for example. The price increase might slow down, but they're not making any more of vintage cards. And so there's some perception that's a good investment. Again, I'm saying a good investment, you'd expect it to go up 3% just by inflation. It needs to go up more than 5% because that's the risk-free interest rate that you could get. In many cases, they have done that historically. Whether they'll continue to do that, I don't know. In finance, there's a rule of 72. If you want to know how long it takes something to double in price or in value, if it doubles in 72 years, that's 1% a year. If it doubles in 36 years, that's in effect 2% a year. If it doubles in 24 years, that's in effect 3% a year. And again, so forth and so on. So you bought a $1,000 card. What are the chances that it's going to double in the next 10 years? If it does double in the next 10 years, you've in effect gotten 7% a year. I see some out there will talk about how much something increased over the last 3 or 4 years without acknowledging the compounding, the fact that if something went up 40% in the last 4 years, that doesn't mean it went up 10% a year. It's actually less than that. And again, there are rules that will determine that. You could calculate that. If it's going to double in 10 years, then it's got to go up 7% a year. I believe Panini essentially 10x'd the basketball market almost single-handedly. They did increase production, but they did bring a lot of collectors coming up. No doubt there are more basketball collectors now, and there's more basketball cards now than there were, and I believe it's a 10x. But that wasn't doubling it every year. Let me give you an example. I looked at my first house on Zillow and realized that it had gone up by 10x since I bought it. Now, again, that was more than 40 years ago. Wow, I should have kept the house. Not necessarily. In fact, it's gone up 8x since I've sold it. And that's a lot of money. That did I leave that on the table? Should I have kept it? Should I have rented it out? Whatever. First of all, if I got 8x, but it was over 42 years, then again, as you do the math, then it really doubled every 14 years. And that's approximately 5% a year. So if I would have taken that money I sold the house for, I did put it into a new house, but if I'd have put it in the bank and gotten 5%, I'd have to be interest-free over each year for all those years, I'd have the same amount of money. So it sounds amazing, but that's the power of compound interest. In fact, when I sold the house, I sold it for 25% more, but that was over 5 years. So I made a profit, but that's not 5% a year to make 25. It's a little more than 4% a year. So not a great investment, but what are we comparing it to? If we're comparing it to paying rent, then no, I'm much better off. I would have been just paying rent and getting nothing for that instead of paying on a mortgage, paying it down, and then selling at a profit. The question is always, what are you going to do otherwise with the money? If you're buying memorabilia, there is some value there. An assumption you need to think about as you're going through the hobby is, am I bullish on the hobby? Is the market, the broad market, going to be higher in 5 or 10 years than it is now? Is it going to be the same or is it going to be lower? My strategies do not require that it be higher. If you're buying above market, you have to have a bull market. If you're buying below market, again, you can't buy dogs, you can't buy bad cards, but if you're buying still good cards, but not the absolute best cards, they can still perform well in that market. So it depends on what your confidence is in the market. And frankly, no matter what you do, again, this is not equal to investment, but it's better. It's not a consumable. In other words, you didn't buy candy and eat it and it's gone. It's in your tummy. Basically, you bought cards, you have the cards, and if they're worth more or less in 5 years, they're presumably worth something. They're not worth zero. You have a memory of going to a restaurant, but you don't get any money from it. You consumed it. Cards, you're not consuming. You're also enjoying, but you also can take it with you. One player is worth $1,000 and he or she now is super hot. You're hoping that's going to increase, but it's selling for $1,000 right now. And if it goes up in a few years and it's 1,500, then you made $500. Again, we go to the time value of the money, but say it's over 5 years, goes up 50%. Then you're pleased. I just think if you buy 10 $200 cards that you got for $100 each and they didn't go up as much, admittedly, some of these better players and hotter players can go up to a higher percentage, but you get the same profit. You put the same amount of money in and you get the same profit out if you're able to sell it. Frankly, if you're buying for half price and selling for full price, who cares about the interest rate? You made your money just on the buy. And if you talk to vintage dealers, they will say the money is made on the buy. That's the way I look at it. Now, again, you have to have knowledge, not just of how to sell, but also how to buy. I think the how to buy is a lost art now. But for most of the people listening here, they're wondering about, I want to buy the cards I want. I don't want to buy a collection. If that's your mindset, just resign yourself to paying a little bit more, but not hopefully way more. If you go to a show and you want one specific card, you can be held hostage by a dealer or dealers that have that card. Same thing with online. You're going for that one thing. And that's the thrill of the chase. If you have a player that you're looking for, but a broad range of cards that you're interested in, that gives you a little more coverage. If you have several players or a team, the more you broaden it out, the less they can hold you hostage to you have to have this card. Now, again, I didn't even follow my own advice back 40 or 50 years ago when I was completing my 50 sets, when it's the last high number you need in the 52 top set. You're not going to be price sensitive. You don't want to be gouged, but you're going to pay more. At any rate, I'm just doing some stream of consciousness about interest rates and expectations. There are no sure things in the world, but if you're considering yourself a card investor, you absolutely need to have the expectation that you can beat 5%, and frankly, beat 5% significantly. And if you don't, then use money that you otherwise would have spent on alcohol or not food for your family, but extra stuff that you don't get anything from. Again, another heresy here, but how if you're more of a collector or more of a fan, which Fanatics is trying to unlock that puzzle. But if you have $100, would you rather spend it on a replica jersey of your favorite person or something you get from Fanatics? Or would you rather spend $100 on some packs? You may not even be able to get a whole box, but blasters and things like that. Or would you want to spend $100 getting a ticket to the game? For me, I'm at the point now I'd rather have the cards than the replica jersey, than the assortment of caps or the latest shoes even. So it's a question of what's important to you. And with the cards, I'm looking at boxes here, and they're called trading cards for a reason. They're not intended to be storing cards. They're playing cards, but they're really not. They're more playing cards are aces and kings and jacks and queens. Trading cards, you get some, your friend gets some, and you trade them. So that's a good part of it. And in trading, I actually don't advise you to try to beat the pulp out of your trading partner. That's a recipe for having less friends going forwards. Win-win, having a situation where each party benefits from the trade is good. Now, if you're trading a bunch of undiscovered, uncertain value cards for something that's a big superstar, you ought to get a good deal because the superstar presumably is a sure thing and the other is not. At any rate, rule of 72, money doubles at the percent that is whatever, 8 times 9 equals 72. If over 9 years at 8%, something will double. Over 8 years at 9%, it will double. Over 10 years at 7%, it will double. So keep that in mind and be aware if your collection goes up in value, if you're considering an investment, it needs to go up more than 5% a year or it was not a good investment. So anyway, I'm not criticizing people that do that because I've in effect done it. I've actually had cards that have gone up, 1,000% is just 10. I've had cards that have gone up 10,000%. That means it's 100 times more than it was. But friends, some of that's over 50 years. So when you look at that, the interest rate per year is still good. I'm not poor mouthing it. It's still really good, but it's not as spectacular as you would think. So that's it. And have a good time. Collect the way you want to collect, but just be aware that there's a kind of the 3%, 5% rule of 72. All those things are guidelines to help you understand if you're considering this investment.